Good morning, Miracle Life folks. It is good to be with you online. We are bummed that we're not in the auditorium together, but we have, since the beginning of this pandemic, thought of your safety and the safety of your family. And you realize that we put in some stricter regulations, but then in the last couple of days, it was getting worse around the nation. And also, we're aware that a whole lot of our members, family members are testing positive right now, and so we think it would be better for us to do this today in the comfort of our homes or our car, wherever you're watching and participating, so that we can stay safe. So please be aware that we will keep you posted through various channels, email, texts, social media, about what's happening at Miracle Life. We've got a lot of things planned. We've got the Equip Conference, VBS, Youth Camp, and so we will be making decisions about those events. And we want them to happen, but we also want to make sure that you're safe and your family is safe. So during this spike, just a couple words of caution, as Pastor Kundwani said, follow the protocols that you've heard from Ministry of Health as far as washing and face mask, and avoid gatherings. You should avoid pubs anyway, but avoid kitchen parties. Avoid places where people are not going to be following those situations and those guidelines, all right? And if you've got flu-like symptoms, find a place to get tested. Because then you'll know if it could just be some type of a flu or another type of bug, or if it's COVID that can be transferred to people that you love. And so get the help that you need. Also, if you're a Miracle Life member and you or one of your family members is testing positive for COVID, please let us know. We want to pray for you. We're not going to make a public list to let everybody know, but we want to pray for you. There are teams that want to support you and help you. We'll do whatever we can to help you overcome and to get on the other side of this horrible sickness, all right? Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. He is and was and always will be the healer. He is the one who helps us. And the same Jesus that heals us also leads us by his Holy Spirit to say, yeah, you shouldn't go to that event, or be careful, be cautious. Okay, so let's look to him as the healer, but also let's use wisdom during this time as well. Also, want to pray for government officials. We want to pray for health officials, doctors and nurses. Obviously, this spike is happening in the run-up to elections. And so we want to pray for everybody who's making those kinds of decisions. We've been seeing this last week some very, very sad incidences of political violence, all right? So wherever you are right now, let's look to the Lord. Let's pray right now for the nation. Let's pray for decision makers in the name of Jesus. Father, you said to pray for those who have authority. And Lord, right now we pray for the president. Lord, we pray for, Lord, officials in the military, officials that are in the police. Lord, give them sober wisdom. Lord, may everyone making decisions be making decisions that will benefit the nation, benefit our neighbors, Father, and not in our own self-interest. Lord, give them strength and courage to do what is right. Lord, we ask you to help doctors and nurses, Lord, healthcare officials, Lord, to give them good guidance, but also infuse them, anoint them to do their service and their work. Lord, if they're tired, Lord, we speak strength and blessing to them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to start a series, and I'll be with you doing some of this. We're going to have someone else taking a portion of this. But if you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, and again, get a real Bible. If you're watching on your cell phone, get the other cell phone that has the Bible app on it, and let's read some stuff, and let's see some things from God's Word that I believe are going to give us great light and insight, and will give us help in our spiritual life as we walk with the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "He himself," and we'll see this is Jesus, "he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So we see that there are gifts that Jesus gives to the church, and we want to take some time to understand these gifts and how do we as believers interact with these gifts. Because we're going to read this whole passage, because there is amazing blessing that happens in our life and in the body when we receive these gifts well. We're also going to see from God's Word that there is danger. All right, there the New Testament speaks of false apostles, bad pastors. It speaks of false prophets and false teachers. Huge warnings about these. So we need to have wise discernment about these things. All right, and if there was instruction and warning in the New Testament church at this time, 2,000 years ago, I believe how much more today do we need this understanding. And I've seen in my own life such blessing and help, strength, wisdom, guidance that has come from receiving these types of gifts into my life and living and being a part of a church where there's a pastor, a solid Bible preaching pastor. And I have also seen, sadly, people shipwreck their lives and their spiritual journeys by being involved with false teachers and false prophets and false apostles, bad pastors, all right, and great, great harm. So we want God's highest and best for you, so we need to go to His Word and understand it, okay? So that same passage, let's go back a few verses and see what is all this about, what did Jesus do, and what are the purpose of these gifts in our life? Ephesians 4:7, it says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says," and here he's quoting from the Old Testament, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this," and then Paul's commenting on this passage, "he ascended," what does it mean, "but that he first also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things." So he's talking about that when Jesus died, he was buried. The Bible said he went to hell. He ascended. He was resurrected and he ascended to the Father. That after that, after the wonderful redemptive work of Jesus, he gave gifts. He gave gifts to men, to the body of Christ. All right. So this is a New Testament gift-giving deal in the Bible. All right. So what are the gifts and what do they do? "He himself," verse 11, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for." Okay, there's a reason. So that means you and I need to understand the for. Because we may be trying to access or get something from these gifts that God never intended for them to give us. Okay, so for instance, if I went to the accountant or the auditor or the bookkeeper and I said, "Could you please prescribe some medicine for my headache?" I'm going to the wrong person for the wrong purpose. Now, maybe they try to do that, but that's not their job. That's not what they're supposed to be doing in my life. And so we need to understand what these gifts are doing in our life, because then we're going to receive them and have expectations of what God's going to do through them to us. I hope that makes sense. All right. So why? Why were these given? Verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the equipping of the saints, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. All right, that's all one phrase. So these gifts are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ till, so then there's some fruit, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, from the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that last verse is pretty awesome. I mean, that is amazing what God wants his body and the church to look like. And I would love to go to that church. where verse 16 is happening. Well, let's go back. Jesus gave gifts, and those gifts are doing something. And then as those things are happening in our life, then there's this incredible ripple effect in our life. Okay, so these gifts were designed to produce fruit in the body of Christ. Okay, so equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, edifying, that when you hear edify, think build up, all right? And so those are the two primary things that these gifts do, all right? They equip me to do work, to do the work of ministry, to do the work that God has called me to do, and to build me up or to edify. So these gifts are not supposed to tell me who to marry. They're not supposed to tell me who's going to win the presidency or who's going to be in parliament in 2 months. They're not meant to tell me who's going to win the European tournament that's coming up. That they weren't designed to do that. So if I go to them for that, then it's weird. They're not even supposed to go get my miracle for me or get my breakthrough for me. They're supposed to equip me to do work, and they're supposed to edify me. All right, now, when those two things happen, then, whoa, watch what happens in the body of Christ. We come to a perfect man. Now, that's not, single ladies, that's not your quest to find a husband, okay? That's a good joke, okay? I know I can't hear you laughing, but I know you're laughing. That's a good joke. Not coming to a perfect, it means maturity. It means that we're growing up. And then it kind of explains that a little bit later. We're no longer children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's interesting. 2,000 years ago, there were winds of doctrine that were blowing. Guess what? They're blowing today, aren't they? They're blowing all over the body of Christ and all over the world. Well, as I grow up, as I mature, as I become that word perfect is a mature, grown-up person, then I'm not blowing around. I know the Bible for myself, and I can't be tricked, because these gifts are helping me to grow up. So if you're a Miracle Life member and you say, you know, I'm kind of tired of going to Miracle Life, all they want me to do is grow up. Exactly. We're a New Testament church, and that is it's at the core of what God has called these gifts to do in your life. All right, then verse 16, the whole body is just clicking. And people are helping and serving, and there's love, and things are growing as a result. And what's kind of cool is those gifts aren't necessarily directly doing all the work in verse 16. It's the body doing body Christian work. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, so man, I want that. So I want to receive these gifts and what God has ask them to do in my life. So we can't get to all of this today, but what we're going to do is kind of take time and look in the New Testament, because remember, these are ascension gifts, remember? So I can't go to the Old Testament and see what the prophets did in the Old Testament, because those weren't ascension gifts. So if someone is patterning their ministry after an Old Testament prophet or an Old Testament priest, they're in the wrong part of the Bible to understand their ministry, okay? So I'm going to understand it, man. I want to grow, and I've really seen this in my life. I've been so blessed by so many gifts that have been a part of my life. Now, on the other side, the Bible is full of really strong and stern warnings. In fact, some of the strongest language of the New Testament is reserved for people who are taking God's children astray, and who are deceitful, and who are covetous, and who, again, that's 2,000 years ago. Is that relevant for today? Big time. All right, let's look at a few of these, all right? So the Bible talks about false apostles, all right? 2 Corinthians 11, 13, Paul is talking about his own apostleship that is legitimate. But then he warns the Corinthians in verse 13, for such are false apostles. Then he describes them, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is of no no great thing if his ministers, whose ministers? Satan's ministers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. All right, so here's the thing. These false apostles, at first glance, they look real. They're not. They're deceitful. Like Satan looks good, an angel of light, not good, deceitful. So they pattern their ministry not after Jesus, but after literally the character of Satan, okay, to deceive people, okay? Deceitful. So they're similar to, they're devilish in their operations, Paul says. Bible talks about false teachers. False teachers. Galatians 4:17, it says, those false teachers are eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me that you will pay attention only to them. So God had brought this gift of the ministry gift that God had put in Paul for the church at Galatia, and these false teachers want for them not to receive the good, but they want to give them this false food that will hurt them. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter has big time strong things to say about false teachers. 1 Peter 2 verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people. He's referring to the Old Testament, so that was something that happened then. Even as there will be false teachers among you. Among Christians, among the body of Christ, there will be false teachers who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow, many Christians will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth has been blasphemed. By covetousness, okay, what's their motive? Money. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceitful words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Go down to verse 12. Same group of people he's talking about. Now listen to what Peter, by the Holy Spirit, okay? But these like natural brute beasts. Well, Holy Spirit, tell us what you really think. Okay, they're brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of their unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. Oh my goodness, have I seen that 1,000 times. Unstable souls fall prey to false teachers. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. This is what God calls these people, all right? You say, that's too strong, Pastor. I'm just reading the Bible. I would probably have strong language if you asked me, but I'm just reading the Bible. They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. That was a prophet for hire. He would sell the anointing, okay, and which is the way of Balaam, and that is talked about in other places of the New Testament. All right, so we've got false apostles, we've got false teachers, and we've got false prophets. 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. I don't know how more plain we can say it. You must test them. You must test them. John is not having a pastor's conference. He's talking to believers. You need to be mature enough that if someone is offering, if they claim to be a prophet or they're having a prophetic utterance, you test them. Well, don't come against my prophets. No. You test them, believers, all right, to see if what they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets many false prophets in the world. Well, how do you test them? You don't just say, well, I have a feeling. I just kind of don't like them, or I like them. Or they're popular, or they give money away, or they build a university or a hospital. No, no, no. You test them by the Word of God. Are there utterances outside of the Bible? Okay? And really, a Christian should be able to do that. Okay, now, so we've got false prophets. Revelation 2:20 says, nevertheless, Jesus is speaking to a church. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Bad teaching, unbiblical teaching. This woman calls herself a prophetess. What's the implication? She's not. It's on her business card. It's on her Facebook page. She's not. Okay? So everyone with a title is not. Okay? And that's what the Bible is saying. So, really, really strong instruction. Now, there are also bad pastors. Okay? This one is a really scary verse to me. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. It says, I know this. And Paul is talking to the elders of Ephesus. So this is a pastor's conference. And this is a time where he's talking to people who are in that office. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So not feeding the sheep, but eating the sheep. And listen to verse 30. Also, from among yourselves, men will arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. So some of you in this pastor's conference, you're going to go crazy. You're going to become a bad pastor. Okay? Jude, chapter 1. Ha ha, that's another joke. Okay, there's only one chapter of Jude. Okay, Jude 12, verse 12, it says, it's all these warnings. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they're like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. You can't see them from the surface, but they'll knock you out. Okay? They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They're like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They're like trees in autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. Meaning, they're not supposed to be that way, but they are that way. Shameless shepherds. All right. Another translation says they just feed themselves. Okay, selfish. I don't know if you've noticed here in all these passages, there's a thread of money, a thread of covetousness that happens. Very, very sad. Okay, so for what the Bible warns us about false, Jesus says, I gave the real stuff. I gave real gifts to the church. So we have to, in our spiritual journey, be able to discern between real, because we're going to get equipped, we're going to be edified, we're going to grow up, we're going to use our gifts, real ministry gifts that are going to help that make happen, or shipwrecked, sexual sin, covetousness, all kinds of problems and confusion and destruction that will happen. So, sounds like a big deal, right? So how are we going to do this in this series? So what we want to do is see what the Bible says about each one of these gifts, to see them in operation in the New Testament, because then we can go, oh, that's what a prophet does in the New Testament. Because then I can go, yes, that's what is supposed to happen, and then I'll reject any real or false or misguided prophet that's not doing New Testament ministry. Did you hear that? All right. Or a pastor who is not doing pastoral ministry, but is trying to pick who you marry. They're pastors, weird pastors that do that. All right. One of the reasons I don't do it, I'm not that good at it. All right. I'm not a matchmaker. Plus, it's not my job. He who finds a wife, go find your own wife. All right? Don't come and ask me. Okay? I found mine. You go find yours. Okay. So, As we see what's real, then we'll know what's false. Okay, how do you know? You know, sometimes it's kind of funny. People who have not, you know, had certain types of food, they'll, you know, they try something for the first time and they're like, "Ooh, this is really good pizza." And I'm thinking, you haven't had enough pizza to say that that's good pizza, because it's not. Okay, so we want to look at the good stuff. We want to look at the real of the New Testament and then understand, because these different gifts have different functions in our life, and so then we're going to receive from them well. Okay, so with the remaining time that we have in just a few minutes, let's look at the ministry gift of the evangelist. The evangelist, okay? I'm not one. Oh, but I love evangelists. They have blessed my life in numerous, marvelous, marvelous ways. Okay, so the name evangel means one who proclaims a message. And so a New Testament evangelist is an evangel who proclaims the gospel. They proclaim the message of Jesus. And an evangelist, all right, is not a teacher. And they shouldn't be teaching about the giants in Genesis. They proclaim Jesus, all right? Did you ever notice that Reinhard Bonnke didn't have a marriage conference? He's not supposed to. He's supposed to proclaim, "Africa shall be saved. I see a blood-washed Africa." And that's what he did until he died, all right? And so they preach the message of Jesus. New Testament evangelists also proclaim Jesus with signs and wonders following. Supernatural power gifts, working of miracles, gifts of healing, gift of faith, those accompany their ministry, all right? Let's find one in the New Testament. Great, wonderful example of a New Testament evangelist is Acts 21, Philip, all right? Philip the evangelist, all right? On the next day, Acts 21, 8, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied, okay? Not four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. They prophesied. God was using them. Wonderful. Okay. It says, Philip the evangelist, and he was one of the seven. What seven? Okay. Acts chapter 6, there were a group of guys that were picked to help the church do some stuff. So he was picked. In Acts chapter 6, he did a function. But then we see him operating as an evangelist in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, wonderful, wonderful chapter of the Bible. Oh man, circle it, know it, so much application for our lives today. Okay, Acts chapter 8, pick up in verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Simple message, you see that? He preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Hearing and seeing. Okay, if you want to be a real effective New Testament evangelist, hear, preach the message of Jesus, but also trust God for miracles. All right, and these do accompany the office of the evangelist. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And look at verse 8. And there was great joy in the city. That is one of the great fruits of an evangelist, is there's joy when they leave, because people's lives are changed. The lame are walking. The lost have come to Jesus. Great joy in that city. Oh, wonderful, wonderful gift. Let's skip down, because while he had this citywide crusade, God also led him to one Ethiopian eunuch who was the treasurer of the country, or the minister of finance. He was the one who made the financial decisions. Acts 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and reading Isaiah the prophet, African financial dude gets saved. That's the headline of this message, all right, this portion here, okay? Acts 8:37, so he's explaining Isaiah to him. So this evangelist could explain Scripture. He was grounded in Scripture. He understood Isaiah 53, all right? And then there's a conversion. Verse 37, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, that is, can I get saved and baptized? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, a profession of faith. Romans chapter 10. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. They went down into the water. No sprinkling. All right. And all the Baptists said, Amen. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found as Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea, where he lived. Okay, so this guy's a preaching machine. He is preaching Christ. He doesn't stay there for 2 years like Paul the Apostle. He doesn't stay as a pastor. He doesn't do marriage counseling. He preached Jesus in the cities. There are miracles. He is in the office of an evangelist. So, how should you and I receive this marvelous, wonderful gift of an evangelist? All right. I think one thing, and this is just some observations, I think from the New Testament, also from my life, is when we see an evangelist, don't try to make the evangelist a pastor. Don't try to make him a prophet. Don't try to make him a teacher. Let him be an evangelist. And he's going to have a ministry, he or she will have a ministry to preaching Jesus, where Jesus hasn't been preached or where Jesus is not known well. But then that evangelist is also going to stir up the church. That evangelist is going to point our hearts and minds towards eternity and souls. Okay? One of the things about an evangelist is, So with the office of a pastor, you and I who are at Miracle Life, our funds and our tithes and our monies, it supports the work that is here, okay? An evangelist, how many of you know the Samaritans didn't send Philip a check to say, hey, come and give us a crusade, here's the money for it, we want to know Jesus. Heathen people don't pay for their ministry. We pay to send. All right, so as a church, as a whole, but then individually, we should financially support evangelists. We should send them. We should bless them. We should get involved. If an evangelist is doing a crusade or Jesus film or door to door, man, we should support it financially. This is happening. This happens at Miracle Life all the time. We support evangelism financially. Okay, but also there. Remember, the evangelist is one of the gifts that is also sent to the body to do equipping, to equip us for works of ministry, and to edify us, to build us up. And I was reflecting, my life has been molded and shaped by teachers and pastors, yes, but also by evangelists. My mom got saved at a Billy Graham crusade when she was 16 years old. That was an evangelist that came to her city. She did not, there was nowhere in her world that she could hear the gospel. She went to a church that didn't preach from the Bible. And she was not a total sinner, all right? But Billy Graham came to her city and she heard the gospel for the first time in her life. Oh, I'm so glad that the gospel was introduced to our entire family tree through an evangelist. The school that my wife and I went to, Oral Roberts University, founded by an evangelist. Miracle Life Family Church was founded by an evangelist. And we called him Pastor Dave Newberry, and God used him as a pastor. But most of his ministry was as an evangelist, a heart for souls. That's why Miracle Life, we've got the word miracle. You know, me as a pastor, teacher person, I'm not sure I would have named it Miracle Life. You know, we called it The Journey or whatever those words are these days. But I'm glad it's Miracle Life. I'm glad we were birthed in the embers of evangelism and miracles. It should never stop being a part of who we are. Two evangelists that truly rocked and shaped Africa, T.L. Osborne and Reinhard Bonnke. T.L. Osborne in East Africa and in West Africa. The reason why there are mega churches in Nigeria, one of the reasons, T.L. Osborne, who had crusades in the 50s and the 60s, the 70s. Ever heard of Bishop Benson Idahosa? You could say the father of big churches in Nigeria came out of his ministry, and they were close like brothers. I knew his children when I went to Oru. His daughter Daisy and I worked at the same place. Daisy, named for Daisy Osborne. Same thing with Reinhard Bonnke. If you look at the pastors that he has impacted just in the city of Lusaka, if you go all over our city from so many, I don't want to miss any, but Pastor Reuter and Pastor Chaluba, Praise Christian Center, Reverend Nambi, Bishop Nambi, all these folks, and so many, Dr. Mumba, all these people were forged and influenced at Reinhard Bonnke Crusades. What an impact he had in Zambia, not just getting people saved, but getting ministries birthed and started and impacted. Amazing, amazing work. And then in our, many, many of you have received from the ministry of Christopher Alam at Miracle Life. Ooh, I tell you, he'll preach a sermon, I don't even know what he preached on, and 100 people get saved. And I'm thinking, I'm happy that people get saved, but sometimes I'm thinking, why can't I do that? All right, because he's an evangelist. All right, God uses them in that way. So let's receive those ministries into our life and feed off of those ministries. And the ones that are, let's support them. But man, click them on YouTube and read their books and let them stir your heart for souls in eternity in heaven and hell. Thank God for the office of an evangelist. Amen? So, speaking of evangel, the message of Jesus and the gospel, you may be watching today and you say, you know what, I'm not in the family of God. These gifts, I've heard about them. I may have seen them on TV or something like that. But I'm not in the family of God. The message of the gospel is that if you're not in Jesus, if you're not in the family of God, you're a lot worse than you think. You're lost. You're hopelessly lost. There's nothing you can do to change yourself. You can't wash yourself. You can't redeem yourself. You can't be religious enough. So the gospel says you're a lot worse than you thought. But here's the thing. Jesus is a lot more good than you thought. There's more hope for you than you thought. And that is that God sent his only son in the form of a human being. And he came and he died for you. He died the death of a criminal. He was whipped and beaten and brutally tortured for one reason. To get your salvation. To purchase your place with God. You see, a price had to be paid. And we couldn't pay it. And Jesus did. And he now offers you a gift. A gift of forgiveness, a gift of reconciliation, a place at God's table as a son and as a daughter. We sang a song this morning that we are the children of God. I am a child of God. Maybe you can't really sing that accurately or truthfully. Maybe, friend, you're a child of God, but boy, you're not in your father's house. There's rebellion, there's sin, there's hardness. Come home like the prodigal son. Come home to a father who loves and cares for you. Oh, he loves you. If you want to pray a prayer today, I want to pray with you. If you want to be a child of God, if you want to come home from a place of sin and rebellion, let's pray this prayer together. Where you are, just bow your head and really let your heart now be drawn towards God and say this from your heart. Say, God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm backslidden. I need you in my life. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Lord. I confess my sin. I turn my back on it. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I love you. I'm in your family now. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, What we want you to do, if you're on Facebook, is just type right there in the comments, say, I'm saved. I'm born again. If you're on YouTube, what we want you to do is, and somebody's going to get back to you. If you're on YouTube, there are numbers on the screen right now. And send us a text, send us a WhatsApp. And there are people that want to be involved in your life. Man, you might be struggling. There might be stuff going on. We want to help you. We want to help you get plugged into a great church. If you're in Lusaka, this is a great church. There are hundreds more. But we want you to get plugged into the body of Christ, and we'll help you do that. All right? Now, if you're participating in this service and there is a need in your life, it could be COVID, it could be sickness, it could be an issue in your family, whatever it is, Jesus is the answer. And there are people that would like to pray for you. There are also numbers online. Send us a text. Contact the church tomorrow. Reach out to us because we want to be a blessing in your life. All right? Now, also, before we finish this service, if you're a member of Miracle Life, if this is your church home, and we're so sorry you can't be with us physically today, but we can still participate through offerings, through your tithes. God is doing great, great and mighty things. Whether we're online or we're together, whatever happens, we are preaching the gospel, making a difference. And so on the screen, on our website, on the app, there are a number of different ways in which you can give to Miracle Life. Might be an offering, might be your tithes, maybe you want to help knock off the debt of the building. Whatever it is, please use those functions. You can also come during the week and give a physical offering at the safe receptacle. Okay? So all those things are happening. We love you so, so very much. Okay, so please be aware that we will keep you abreast to the different activities and things that are happening at Miracle Life. We want them to be open because they're a blessing for you. They're impacting our world, but we also want to be safe and wise. Okay, so just a reminder that if you do need something, if you need to see somebody here on the campus, please, please call and make an appointment. Okay, don't just send us a text and say, I'm coming Tuesday at 10. Okay, make sure that the person that you need to see is here, because we're going to also be looking at ways to keep our staff here very, very safe as well. All right. Anything we missed? Pastor B, Pastor K, all right. We love you so much. We know that God is on your side. And as we leave today from this service, let's pray and trust God, yes, to keep us safe, but also to be an incredible light, to be a blessing to our world. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that you are good and that you're good all the time. Thank you that you protect us and keep us in all of our ways. Father, we thank you that Psalm 91 is our portion. It is our experience. Lord, make us a blessing. Lord, as people perhaps are fearful, Lord, as other folks don't know where to go for help, Lord, may we be the salt and the light. May we be evangelists. May we be sent ones with the message of Jesus all around our world. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So glad you could be with us online. We love you. We'll see you next week. God bless.